Okay. Versatile Vigilante, Young Vince, Uncle Vinny. We're at the Roseland studio with a fucking Toronto legend, man. The man, Dolph.
Love, bro. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, bro. Thank you for coming out.
Anytime, man. It's long. Been trying to do this for a minute now, so glad I'm here.
I appreciate it, man. You're a busy guy. I know you're running around the city quite often, so very excited to have this conversation.
Appreciate you for having me.
My pleasure, bro. So, yo, honestly, first time we're kind of linking up. Love to hear a little bit about where you grew up and can kind of go from there.
So, I grew up in North York area. Jaden Trethewey, to be exact. What else would you want to know? How I was when I was younger and stuff like that? Or?
So, I see that you're heavy in several different aspects of the game. I know that you do a lot of things.
Yeah.
The first thing I kind of want to pick apart a little bit is, how did you get involved in the clothing world? I know you own a brand, Anti.
Yeah.
What was kind of the inspiration behind that in the first place? How did you even get involved?
I started that 2019 during COVID.
Okay.
I think everyone else during COVID, that's when I think everyone decided, like, yo, I'm going to just take opportunity of this time that we had, and we were just all locked down and just trying to, like, make bread or thinking of a way to make bread. I think a lot of people in 2019 became somewhat business owners, whether it was clothing, whether it was restaurants, catering, or whatever. I've seen a lot of businesses open up during that COVID time. And then for me, it was like, I always wanted to kind of, like, design clothes or make my own clothing and stuff like that. Like, I would, like, look up to, like, some people that I look up in a fashionable sense, like Kanye, Travis, all these guys that are also in there, my influence when it comes to, like, my music and what I listen to on a day-to-day basis. But kind of just, like, the story is really funny, honestly. I used to, 2019, work at a dispensary.
Okay.
And I ran into one of my boys, and I was pretty fried at the time, and I was like, yo, bro, like, let's just start a clothing line. Kind of just said, fuck it. And my boy was down. My boy's, who's the other half of Anti, he's a skateboarder. And then after, you know, like, skateboarding, and then at that time I was nowhere near DJing, but I enjoyed music, so I started with that. And then, yeah, it just started off being, we were both high as fuck, and then we're just like, yo, let's just make this clothing line. And, you know, I had some success during that, what is it now, 2024, 2019, and launched 2021. So, like, within a 3-year period, I had my moments. And then obviously I'm doing something else right now that kind of took over that, and now I'm slowly starting to build back the clothing line. But yeah, I mean, that's how that started, just off one spliff. That was it.
Sometimes that's all it takes, bro.
Yeah.
The inspiration is within you, and the...
Yeah. We were chatting, like, before that, too. But it was kind of just like, am I going to go through with it? Smoked a spliff, we said, fuck it. And then once we said, fuck it, there was no going back from there. So we just started it, and we started doing our thing. And then, you know, we had our success in the city a little bit. And then, yeah, now we're slowly starting to try to build it back up.
Love it, man. So you said kind of that COVID time was when you started up. Do you feel like it was for you needed something to do? Because I kind of felt that way myself.
Yeah, I mean, like, sure, during COVID, man, all I was doing was playing video games. I got tired of that. So I was like, and I was also shopping a lot. I was online shopping a lot. Yeah, so I was like, all right, like, I'm kind of just like, I used to get all these clothes and stuff, and I'm just like, I should just make my own shit. You know what I mean? I used to jot down ideas and all that stuff, and, like, that's, like, literally just how it came about.
It's a story that I think is quite common amongst kind of our age group.
For sure.
Creatives, too, because we were kind of just fucking constrained at that time, you know?
I think a lot of people, just during that time, like, they weren't working, so everyone had, like, there was no excuse, because before, when we were working, I'm pretty sure there was a lot of people that had aspirations of wanting to start some sort of business,
right?
Like I said, clothing, catering, a restaurant, or even people I've known that opened, like, they started their own, like, studios, photography, like, maybe there's people that picked up, like, they picked up their like, their passion, and during COVID, there was nothing, you know, nothing for you to do, so you can work on that, right? So I think a lot of people just bit the bullet and were just like, all right, like, let's do it, because we really have all the time in the world right now. Like I said, there was really no excuse for anyone to say, oh, I can't, I don't have the time to do this, or I don't have the time to do that, because we were just all at home. We're locked down, we're all at home. So, and it's funny because I've seen a lot of businesses post-COVID now that started during COVID that are, like, really striving right now. So it's pretty cool to see that some of these businesses out here that started during COVID are still striving. And, like, you know, that's why I kind of say that COVID was a blessing and a curse for a lot of the people our age, or just in general, because it was sad what happened, but it opened a lot of doors, or it gave people the chance to really go do all what they want to do.
You're 100% right, man. And it kind of was also, I think you would relate to this as well, one of those things where it's like, if I don't make something happen, nothing's gonna happen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you really had nothing to lose during those times.
Real shit.
If it didn't work out, you can just go back to the drawing board. You know what I mean? A lot of people, if you were smart enough, there's a lot of people that took that when they weren't working, they took that money that they were getting from the government, they were leveraging it to build something or to invest into something, and now, like, some of them are paying dividends, right? So
facts, if you don't put yourself out there, you never know.
Sure.
Very real. So after you had that spliff with your buddy, you came up with, how did you come up with the name in the first place, actually? And it's anti, not anti.
It's whatever. Okay. It doesn't really matter. However people want to perceive it or say it, or however they pronounce it, it doesn't really bother me when people say one thing over the other. But the name came up, it's just the first thing that popped to my mind. It also has to do with, like, how I grew up. Like, I was very, like, kind of, like, I was kind of, like, kind of rebellious in a way. And then, like, I remember during high school, I was also, like, you know, behind closed doors, I would shy away, you know, do things a little bit different. You know, I didn't really want to, like, follow masses. And I was just, like, I kind of just took that. And it still goes with me to this day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like, to me, it's, like, if you look at the word anti, it just means to be opposing against. I remember when we were thinking about the name, we were like, oh, like, how's this going to be perceived to the public? Because, like, you know, the word anti kind of has a negative connotation to it, but it just means to be, you can be opposed of something and it's not bad, right? So that's where that came about, just about my attitude and, like, how I moved when I was younger. Just the first thing that came up to mind was anti. Four letters, are short, simple, it's catchy, you know. See, Drake used it in a song. He goes, like, I'm anti, like, you know, it's a good promo. So
there we go.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean, that's just how it came about.
I like that a lot, bro. And kind of, I was attracted to the brand you have because you can kind of tell you go against the grain a little bit.
And yeah, for sure. That's definitely part of it. I mean, now that, I wouldn't say now, like, I'm rebranding, but now moving forward, like, that's what we're trying to do when we're working on our designs. I think, like, back in, like, when I started, I was moving very fast. Now I'm, like, toned it down a bit, and I found what I want to work on, and designs that I want to work on, and silhouettes that I want to do, and, you know what I mean, it took a lot of time. I feel like the time off that I did take from it also helped out a little bit, because it's the one thing with the clothing, it's not, as you see, there's a lot of people that have clothing lines, and I'm not saying my clothing line is super successful. Like, I'm proud of what we accomplished so far, but, like, clothing, like, and fashion and all that, it's a tough game to be in. Trends change quickly, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of money that goes into it, and, like, if you don't put, like, you can lose a lot of money too, right? You put all this money into one design and it doesn't hit. That's why you see a lot of clothing lines that just come in and out. You know what I mean? So I didn't really rush what I was doing. I was able to take a step back. I always, like, if I wanted to start fresh, I would always start fresh, which is what we're doing right now, starting fresh and kind of just fusing my clothing, the clothing line, with what I'm doing, because and with what my boy does, and it kind of all meshes together. I mean, he's a skateboarder. I DJ now. I do a little bit of nightlife stuff, and like clothing fits to every single aspect of that, right? So that's kind of like how we're moving forward in the from now on into the future too.
I really like that you said that, bro, about especially about like sometimes you have to slow things down and pull back to take that next step up.
Yeah, for sure.
I really relate to that, man. I feel like as you get a little older too, you realize, yo, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's, there's no rush to it. You know what I mean? It's good to sometimes take a step back, as long as you're moving in the direction of you're going up, down, but on like a upwards direction. You know what I mean?
Facts.
Because like it's not as like as a clothing brand owner or designer, like all your designs are not gonna slap. There's gonna be some that you know, are obviously more popular to the people and they like it. And there's going to be people that have their opinion and be like, no, I don't like this. And like, I think that's one thing I needed to accept it, that like, not everyone is going to like your designs. But it's like, you really just got to tone in onto the people that do.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because there's like, there's people that just, they've started clothing line, they get discouraged because like, you know, they don't sell out right away. And like one thing I always say with the clothing is like, your first drop is always gonna do well because your friends are gonna support you, they're gonna show out, they're gonna buy your clothes. But after a while, you know what I mean? Like they're gonna be like, okay, like I've supported you, and like you know it's okay that they don't buy it here in the next drop or the drop after that, but like it's always the second, third, fourth drops that are more important, because then you see outside of your friends like who you were able to connect with,
right? Building a niche market, building a core fan base.
Yeah, like I think one thing that we did well but like we didn't capitalize on is we at one point we had like a subculture of our own where people were DMing me. It's like, yo, I know what it means to be anti, like I see your movement, this and that, and you know we didn't capitalize on that. And then we can say we lost it, but now we're working back to it. But like, I'm not discouraged about it. It's a slow grind. You know? You're playing chess, right?
You're playing chess, bro, and it's part of a journey. I really liked how you phrased that too, because you're absolutely right. It's kind of like the saying where like getting drafted to the NBA is a huge achievement, but staying is even more of an achievement. You know,
it's like you got like people who, if you want to bring basketball terms, you get people who get drafted. Sometimes first pick, first top 10.
Yeah.
And then you never hear from them again, right? Then you have people that go undrafted or they go late second round that are now all-stars.
Jokic, right? Man.
Yeah, Siakam was one of them.
Yeah.
Van Vliet was one of them. So, you know what I mean? It applies to, like,
everything.
Life. Yeah, everything in life.
100% right, bro. What was the first piece you guys put out?
I'm actually wearing it.
No fucking way.
Yeah, it was three of them, so... We had our first
drop. That's fire, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, part of it, so it was, if I can remember, we had, like, just a basic tee with, like, it said Anton, and then it said opposed and against in the back. So, like, our very just, like, basic tee. And then we had, this was called the Idols tee, and then the other one was the Villains.
Is that Kid Cudi on there?
Yeah.
Dope.
Like, so we based our first drop off those three things. Just a regular, like, a mantra tee, which was opposed and against. Like I said, that was written on the back, and it just had an anti logo. The second one was this one. This was the Idols tee. And, like, you look at, like, Kid Cudi, a big influence of mine. That's somebody who embodies, like, that anti, like,
right.
attitude, you know?
Kinda especially like, for our age group.
For sure. I mean, for a lot of people, including myself, you'll hear people say that Kid Cudi saved their life. I'm like, I'm one of them. If I'm like, not to be a cliche or anything like that, but that man saved my life. His music, you know, he let people feel that, you know, feeling down is not like you're not, it's normal. Like, you
yeah.
know, like there's a lot of people going through it too. So that's why, like, you know, he embodies that anti attitude that fits into my brand. And then the Villains tee I did was, which one was that? Oh, it was a Death Note tee. With what's his name, Riek. the, he's like, I guess he's, you can say he's a villain, but I didn't, because I look at villains, the thing is me, is I look at villains, like, I don't look at them as bad people. Like, it's how they grew up is the reason why they became who they became, you know what I mean?
That's a really mature way of looking at it, bro.
Yeah, I look at villains a little bit different. You gotta understand them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not, like, obviously there's some that are, like, super, super bad, but, like, someone like the Joker, you hear about his story, you know what I mean? Like, when he was, like, that's why he was my favorite villain as a kid.
Right.
Was the Joker. I love the Joker. But I would always gravitate towards the villains and the superheroes. It's just to show, like, you know what I mean? It's a lot of us when we were growing up, oh, I like Superman, I like Batman. Nah, I like the villains. they just appealed to me. Facts. Much more better. And they were just always so savvy, and they're always swagged. They're always swaggy and all that. You know what I mean? So that's why, like, we came up with those three T's right there. That was, like, our very first drop.
That's so interesting, because each one is a very different role, different vibe.
Exactly.
Falls under that umbrella. But that's real, bro. And you know, the hero-villain thing is interesting, too, as you get older, where you realize, oh, this person's typically not as bad as we thought.
Yeah.
You know, no one's perfect. Like,
that's what I'm saying. And that's why I always gravitated towards the villain.
Cheering for the bad guy in the movie, bro. In the same way.
Yeah, for sure.
So after that first drop, it went pretty crazy?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, that was the very first drop. All my friends were supportive. People, my cousins, family, they all bought some t-shirts. So that like, sold out. I think we did a pre-order, but that sold out within like a day, you know what I mean? So that did very well. And then after, I don't remember what I did after that, but we had a good run, because I think I started the brand in 2019. I didn't drop till 2020, and then by summer of 2020, I want to say, or even I think 2021, I don't remember the timeline. But we had a pop-up at Kensington that went well.
Dope.
I don't know if you've seen, like, the story behind it, but then eventually we got cease and desist by the MLB.
Bro, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, and then, like, after that, timeline is funny, because after that, I think that's, what, 2020? So 2020, we dropped, and then along that year, we did a pop-up that did very well with my boy Ice Cap.
Okay.
He does, like, the hats with the rhinestones.
Seen those?
Yeah.
So dope. He does, brand.
He does that. We did a pop-up at Kensington Market at Brim's. So shout out Dame. If you're ever in Kensington and you want to get custom hats or you want to do anything for your brand, you hit Dame.
He's a sick guy.
Yeah. Met him before. He's a really good guy. He's a good guy. He allowed me and Jason to do a pop-up, and I mean, we couldn't believe it. Like, we're just, like, two groups of people and just popped up at Kensington and had a line out the door. People coming in, like, oh, I like this hat, I like this hoodie, I like this shirt. I'm just back and forth buying each other's brands. You know, it was a surreal moment. Family came through, it was fun. And then, you know, I had a couple more drops after that. Then I did, like, a couple fitteds. Had a couple tees, you know, and within that, like, you know, some of the tees didn't hit, but whatever, you know, you keep moving, you keep doing different things. We did hoodies. Our hoodies always do well. And then I believe that's when I did a collab with my friend Butter on the Commas. He's also has his own brand. We did a collab together. Then we dropped this Loyalty Over Love hoodie that everyone till this day asking me to bring it back, to restock it, like, going like crazy. And we did that, like, Valentine's Day. And I think that year, yeah, we had that whole year. So 2022, sorry, that's when it was. 2022, we got, yeah, I think, if, I don't know if my timeline's right, but 2022, one of, within that year,
yeah,
within 2021, 2022, I was able to get Scotty Barnes to wear our stuff.
Hard.
So that's when he got, that was his first year. Whenever his first year was in Toronto, we got my boy Jason, who runs Ice Cap, he's like, yo, give me some gear, I'm giving a hat to Scotty. And then he dropped it off to him, and then the All-Star game that was in Cleveland, he actually wore shit down the runway, which was crazy. And then, like, shortly after that, we get cease and desist from the MLB. Or other way around. One of the two. I don't remember. It was so long ago. I don't remember. But, and then, yeah, and then we were kind of just, that's when I kind of like settled down. And then life got busy for me and my business partner. And then I started what I'm doing now.
What an interesting, like, kind of test of balance. Like, you get such a crazy look with the Scotty thing, and then such, like, a difficult situation with the cease and desist.
Yeah. I mean, the cease and desist, it was, honestly, when I saw that email, I still have it to this day. When I saw that email, I got gassed. I was happy.
That's like, good promo, bro. You can't really pay for that.
A lot of people were like, oh, man, like, yo, you got a cease and desist from the MLB. That sucks. And I'm like, sucks. I'm like, I still consider myself a small brand, but we were even smaller then, with like maybe less than 2,000 followers, or even less than 15. And like, we got on the MLB's radar. So I mean, you look, hindsight, we're doing something right.
Facts, for them to see what you're doing is.
What we're doing, you know what I mean? So that was, people always tell me like, yo, like, that must have sucked. And I'm like, nah, that was good. I used it as promo too. After that, everyone wanted to buy a couple of our hats after that. So yeah, it wasn't, I didn't take it as a negative.
No, I think you did the right thing, man. Sometimes that little bit of controversy is.
Yeah, I mean, with that was, you know, any promo is good promo.
Facts.
As long as you're not doing some messed up shit. But like, getting cease and desist by a $1 billion company, maybe you can say trillion, MLB maybe, yeah. Them guys, and I got under their radar. They said like, yo, there's this brand out here in Toronto that's like duplicating and like changing up our logos. Like, nah, we can't have that. Yeah. We can't have that. You know what I mean? So, you know, we were able to speak to my homie, who I run the brand with, he was able to reach out to some of his boys, and like we showed him the email, and basically they just wanted us to just shut it down and like take all the products off our website, you know what I mean? And at that point we were already sold out of Fitted, so it didn't really matter to us, you know. We just had a couple of like other Fitteds on there that were like our original designs, but like. Yeah, that's how we came up to, I think a lot of our design process back in the day, I mean, and it still resides with us today, is taking these familiar logos that people are familiar with,
yeah,
and then repurposing them. I think Virgil says it, I think he said, was it like the 5% rule? I forgot, but something along the lines of like, you know, taking a logo or repurposing it. It's kind of like with a hat that we just dropped right now. Like
Rough Rider influence. Yeah, Rough Riders, you know, very dope.
We took the R, but we turned it to an A. You know, I just dropped this. And this did well for us, too. So, you know.
Yeah.
Now we're here.
I think with your brand, too, is one thing that I noticed. Because before I even met you, I knew the brand. I didn't know you were the face behind it, but I had absolutely heard of it. And I was always very impressed with the quality. Because there are a lot of brands where you can tell it's, you know, it's, let's get it out there. But your shit was always very, very, very strong.
Yeah, that was one of the things when I started this. I was like, I'm not gonna be like a fast fashion type brand, and I'm gonna actually invest my money into like quality items, you know, like even though so at times like profit margins were a lot slimmer than what they could have been if I went a cheaper route. But like everyone till this day that has a piece of clothing from me, they're like, yo, it's still, you know, it still holds up, still good, you know what I mean? Like it's just part of the brand. Like I feel like if you're anyone who takes clothing, who wants to take clothing serious, like you got to make sure your material is on point.
100% agree.
That's just gonna make people want to like come back and buy more things from you if like they feel like they're paying for quality. Most of the time that's what people are paying for, is the quality, right?
Absolutely, bro. I think they're paying for quality and to feel cool, and your brand has that feel of it, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Kind of like you had him here, kind of like Headless, right?
Shout out Headless Forever, man.
Yeah, that's my dogs. Shout out him.
How'd you guys meet? Oh, by the way, another one of the sickest brands in the city.
Yeah, no, for sure. He has it on point.
Yes.
He has it on point. He kind of reminds me of like a babe. Like, he has like a cult.
He's a fucking genius, bro. Yeah, I think he's a genius.
That's my guy. But me and him, we met playing ball. It's so funny because during like post COVID, I was also part of this pop up called On the Rise that my boy Jason set up. And funny enough, that was like my first real DJ gig. But it was like a pop up with, and then I came up with a name. It was called On the Rise. It was a bunch of like not low key brands. Like, people knew about these brands, but like, they were literally on the come up,
right?
Or they were on the rise. That's right. Why we called it On the Rise. It was a bunch of brands or clothing lines or businesses that did like candles. There was one that did like what do you call those things that you put your coffee cups on top?
Coasters.
Did coasters. There was clothing lines. There was resale brands. We threw this crazy, crazy pop up on King Street East. Crazy turnout, and like, he was supposed to be a part of that, but then like his manufacturer didn't get in time. But it was funny, you know. We had all these. We met everyone. Like, all these businesses we met, we were cool. One thing that we had in common is we liked to hoop.
Okay.
So like, at one point we were doing runs, and we called it the small business run, because like, it would be all these small business owners and we were just all running. And then like, Flyboy, he pulled up, and then it was like, oh, he's the guy behind Headless. And then since there on out, now me and him have been really close. You know, we've done parties together. I've helped him do some of his parties. We're actually doing a party in March, end of March. So
exclusive.
Yeah.
So we're pull up to that, man. That's a fucking...
Yeah, we're doing a party end of March for his brand, too.
So, ooh, I'm excited, bro. I'm there.
Yeah.
That's fucking lit. The thing about him and you that I really like is you can tell that both of you are just doing what you believe in. You know, sure. Right or wrong, what anyone else thinks, you believe in it. And you can't fucking fake that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like something that he's passionate about and something that I'm passionate about. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, I remember when I first started Anti, I didn't feel like work. So it was like clockwork.
Right.
Like, it was seamless. Same thing with DJing. It doesn't feel like work to me, right? I mean, sometimes it does when I'm doing like back to back, and it gets, you know, puts a lot of stress and toll into your body, into your mind. We should talk about that later, but like, you know what I mean? Like, DJing to me doesn't feel like work. That's why I enjoy doing it. You know what I mean? I don't mind doing it every weekend. Same with working on the clothing now. Like, it doesn't feel like work to me. And at the end of the day, like, you know, you're like, what Flyboy's doing, what I'm doing, and what whoever has a business, they're just building on their name. And I think, like, you can't go wrong with wanting to build something on your name, right?
Completely agree, bro. Because that's all you really have. What else do you have? You know?
You don't, and to be honest, you have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
Right? So I think there's like a, I don't know if it's a narrative, but there's like, there's a stigma of like, you know, you only have one shot to do it. You know what I mean? But like, look at a lot of people. There's a lot of people that have done like 5-6 businesses, and on their like 10th one, that's the one that slapped.
Absolutely, bro.
Right? So like, you just, as cliche as it sounds, you just gotta dare to be great. You know, you gotta take that risk. You gotta, you know, you gotta take that big leap. You know, you gotta trust yourself.
You got it every single day, bro. Every single day.
Oh, for sure.
I love that story, man. I think that's what you're a brand that excites me about the city of Toronto right now, too, where I feel that there's a hunger and a spirit, Headless, Anti. Like, as someone that's kind of on the outside seeing what you guys are doing, it really, really is fascinating to me, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's funny. People, you know, people like yourself tell me that. It's like, I never see that perspective, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm always just working on myself. To me, it's just I'm working on myself. I'm working on trying to build something, and hopefully building something that's, you know, that's going to be, that can be bigger in the future, or, you know, something that's just going to be around for forever. But it's also, you know, I'm not scared to lose it as well.
Facts.
You can't hold on. You just got to know when things are right, when to let go, so when to start something new. It's just a part of the game.
You always have a next move to make.
Yeah,
always a next move to make, man.
Always.
Very real. So you've hinted at it already, and I'm super curious to get into this topic, the DJ topic.
Right.
You mentioned already at that pop-up was like a little bit of a taste for you. How did that even come about?
So, me, I've always been musically inclined. I love music always. I was always the guy. I was like, yo, let me get aux in the whip.
The aux, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And they'd be like, yo, let me get the aux cord. I'd always play. I would even always have house parties at my crib. And, you know, would always have parties. So, I think, like, I think when I was younger, like, I didn't know it then, but it was setting me up for what I'm doing now. You know what I mean? I always love to throw events or even organize things, parties, events, or just even like having friends over at the house, you know, like till this day, like when me and, you know, my close circle of friends, when we link up for like the holidays, it's always at my house. You know what I mean? So I always enjoy, like, I just enjoy having people around me. You know what I mean? So, with the DJing stuff, how it started for me is, like I said, I was like very musically inclined. And then I remember, at that point I was fully hands-on with Anti, that it didn't even cross my mind to start something else, right? Because I was like, let me build this before I want to do something else. So when I did a pop-up at Kensington, it's funny, he's my boy now, but was a customer back then.
Okay.
He bought a shirt off me, followed each other on IG, and I saw that he was DJing. I'm like, yo, why don't you come DJ this, my pop-up? And then that person was my boy Pat. So,
man like Pat?
Yeah.
I've seen him on IG too, doing his thing.
Yeah. That's my dog. Like, me and him are really close. But I told him, like, yo, why don't you come through and DJ this pop-up. You know what I mean? We had a speaker set up, everything. It was cool. And then, like, I would always, like, every time I would go to pop-ups, I'd be like, yo, come DJ. But within that, I was always, like, finding myself, like, I would always, like, stand over and hover over because, you know, like, just to me, like, I'm like, yo, I think I can do this. And also, even before that, I forgot to, because this is a really important, it's really important how the reason why I'm a DJ today, or I decided to start DJing, was because when I was younger, or not even younger, when I was like 19, say like 19 to 20, 25, 26, I'm 27 now, so 25, 24, I was partying a lot. I knew people that were in the nightlife. I knew people that owned clubs. So I was partying a lot, like a lot with my boys. We were getting lit every weekend. And then after, I remember, that's when post COVID, right? There was no clubs, there was nothing, right? So then after that, you know, like everyone, it was a slow grind to get back the nightlife scene up, get into the clubs and stuff. But then eventually I was kind of like, man, I spent so much money in the club, just getting hammered every time. And then I was like, it'd be nice to get paid to be out there, right? So again, like, it was always in the back of my mind. And then when I used to go out to the club, I would always used to be by the DJ booth because I knew the DJs. And, you know, I would be like, yo, it's funny because this is so, as a DJ, this is so frowned upon. But I used to be that kid. I was like, yo, like, why don't you try mixing this song into this? But it's different for me because my boys were the DJ.
Right. So you weren't a random guy.
Yeah, I wasn't like a random guy. Some of my guys were like, yo, try mixing this into this. Because, like, me, like, I would always, like, hearing two songs, I would like know like what would mesh well.
Facts.
So I remember at one point I was like, I told my boy, I'm like, yo, why don't you mix this song into this? Or he would forget to play a song. I'm like, yo, you forgot to play this. So I don't know if you know, like back in the day, DJs, they would have like they would have, they'd be spinning on vinyl, right?
Yeah.
With like records, and then they would have their boy
be with, the crates,
yeah, right?
Absolutely.
I was like that, like modern day version,
right?
Like I would see my boys DJing and I'd be like, yo, it's like prime time, and you forgot to play this song. And I'd be like, oh shit, respect. And then I'd be like, yo, why don't you try mixing this into this? And then he would mix it and be like, ooh, he's like, what? Like, you know what I mean? So, like, I always had an ear for music.
Right.
I listen to music all the time. Like, every day, 24/7, I'm always listening to music. And then, yeah, fast forward, like, that was, like, pre-COVID and, like, young teens. And then fast forward, did the clothing line stuff. And then yeah, so Pat came along. And then I'd be like, yo, Pat, let me try and fuck around with this thing. And then I would do it. And then, you know, kind of just like, okay. And then he'd be like, yo. And then at one point he's like, yo, why don't you just do it? Like, just.
Yeah,
you
just know, go all in
just
on go, it.
You can
yeah.
do it. Just do it. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know. And then, like, I was kind of like quiet. Because I didn't really start DJing until 2022, summer, July. So I'm really only. This July of this year, that's 2 years.
Which is fucking nuts, bro, because I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, so I remember, you know, he gave me his deck, and then I would practice at home, and I'm like, okay. There was so much that I didn't know back then, but, like, I would practice, and then eventually I remember specifically when I started he's DJing, he had all this downloaded music, and I'm like, yo, let me just put that on my hard drive. And he's like, fuck no. And he's like, bro, he's like, if you want to DJ seriously, like, you have to sit down at home and you gotta download these songs. And then, like, I didn't realize that back then, you know what I mean? Like, I was just starting. I was like, yo, just give me some songs, you know what I mean? But then now, you know, I see that you literally gotta put in the hours.
Yes.
Go into these programs, these crate programs where you can download music and, you know,
learn the craft.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, if you're gonna take DJing seriously, fam, he's like, you need to sit down and you gotta start downloading your own music. And that's, and then from there on, that's what I did. And then we did the On the Rise pop-up. That was great. And then I was DJing. I wasn't DJing like seriously then. That was like my one gig. That was like December of 2021, that On the Rise pop-up. And then, you know, a couple of my friends' birthdays were doing that. And then, like, within, like, that January of 2022. And, yeah, that's the year. Again, that's the year with Scotty Barnes and all that, 2022. I was also practicing. I was practicing a lot then. And then I was like, yo, I think I'm ready. And I was ready to go out to actual club.
Yep.
And, like, but yeah, I really, it's so funny. I thought I was ready, but I wasn't. But like, when it came down to it, I wasn't. Like, just, you know, playing in front of an actual crowd. Now you're there, like, you have to make sure the vibe is right. You know, it was a lot. But you need to, like, you just need to get through that. You have to get through that hump.
Yeah.
Right.
You gotta dive in.
Yeah. You know. You gotta get through it.
Facts.
You know. So, I remember I was like, I'm ready to start. And then me and Pat, we did a party at Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Not Sorry. That's on Queen Street underneath AMPM.
No.
And just want to shout out Justin. Because Justin, if you don't know Justin, all the DJs, these guys, they know Justin. He's very well respected. He gave me that first opportunity to even just do a party in his club. And that party was crazy. And I wasn't even DJing a lot. I DJed maybe like, till I opened up the party, and then Pat did his thing, and then we had another DJ on, he did his thing. And then, you know, I played like the last 30 minutes or something like that. And it was a good success, man. We had all of our friends were there to support me, support Pat as well. We threw a really good party, you know, bar sales were great. And then, literally from that point on, it was just was kept on going. I started networking with a lot of people, met a lot of other dope DJs that I'm really, really close to this day that still help me out to this day. And then I remember I was doing a couple events within that summer of 2022. And then I remember Thanksgiving is when I had like my real like humbling moment, because within those times I was just DJing with my friends, but this time we were at a club. But either way, my friends were gonna fuck with me regardless, right? Because you're DJing to your friends, so you know what they like, right?
For sure.
So I had my real first humbling moment at Door 3, this on King Street, and this is one of my homies. They run the club.
Okay.
So you know, I had two of my boys that we linked up and we did parties together, and there was times where like I wasn't DJing like seriously, but I was still practicing my craft, but I was throwing parties still. With my boy CJ.
Yeah.
And then we did a couple, and then we did one of our other boys, his name is Garth, he reached out to us, and now it's like kind of me, CJ, and Garth, and we do like that's my main
team.
Yeah, we do parties, and we did like a banger Caravana party. Crazy. That party, legendary. That party was so much fun. I'll never forget that. And I wasn't even DJing that party. Like, I was just, like, you know, like, just help organize.
Holding it down.
Yeah, you know? And then I was like, yo, I think I'm ready to get on my own events. And then we did one at Door 3, and this was, like, the most humbling moment ever for me as a DJ. And at that time, too, I wasn't playing on, like, the industry standard gear. I had my own my own deck, and we would plug it in. But it was so bad. But I'm so happy that it happened. You know what I mean? A lot of people, like, they would like get so discouraged and be like, I'm giving up. But it was so, like, to me, the people are there, they don't think it was as bad. But to me, it was so bad, because like now I was playing in front of people that I knew, but I also didn't know.
Yep.
But obviously, like, the people I didn't know weighed more than the people that I did. So seeing their reactions when I was playing certain songs, you know what I mean? And it was like, I was like, to me, it's like when I'm mad, like, you can tell I'm mad. My friends are like, yo, like, cheer up, bro. Like, just we're at the party, we're having fun. But to me, it was like, that's how serious I was at that point when I was like, I'm not trying to just be what they call today is like a bedroom DJ.
Right.
You know what I mean? Again, like, there's DJs that just come out the blue, just decide, like, it's like, oh, this looks cool, I'm going to do it. But then they don't invest any time.
You're serious about it.
Yeah, I was serious about it. So obviously I was like, fuck, like, I literally just, like, blew that gig. You know what I mean? And, like, that was, like, King Street. That's, like, you know, you're in the big leagues when you're on King Street, right? So, and word travels around. So I remember after that, whatever, I was mad, it took it to the chest, but then I just invested into the craft, and then I started DJing a lot, practicing at home. It was like, I remember I had a setup at home where it was like my bed, and then right beside me was a table with my deck and a speaker. So when I would wake up, I would just clock in hours, just you know, like, trying different genres, blending, transitioning. Even now, like, I'm still trying to learn how to scratch, but... Yeah, I mean, after that, it's really all she wrote after that. You know what I mean? Like, I just started doing my thing, started dropping mixes, you know, just doing all these things to invest into my craft.
That was a fucking awesome story, bro. For someone that, like, who watches this or, you know, wants to hear your story, I think you touched on the most important points of just that persistency, that consistency.
Yeah.
My favorite part, though, is the fact that you weren't satisfied with how it went. You didn't fold at all. You took it even to a next level. Like, no, let me get even fucking better. Yeah, I love that, man.
For sure, man.
I love that.
Like, and that's not, like, all of that. That's just, like, one half. And then now I'm, like, here doing my thing. And till this day, I don't, like, the thing with me is I don't even specify me as, like, I don't call myself sick. like there's people that tell me like, yo, you're good, but like I never let that get to my head, because I'm always looking for room to grow, and you know what I mean, there's not, you're not always that guy, you know what I mean?
Facts. It's for other people to say that. You don't say that about yourself.
Yeah, like I don't want to feed or boost my ego in any way possible. Like I don't sit here like, oh, I'm the best DJ. I'm the sickest DJ in the city. This, that. You know what I mean? Like I just like to DJ. To me, it's like, again, it's a passion project for me. I like to have fun. It's just for me, I'm just blessed because I know. Well, I've met a lot of people, and I know a lot of people in the industry, and obviously, you know people in the industry, and they'll give you that chance.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? That's the thing. They gave me that chance, and I knock it out the park for them, at least. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm here where I'm at today, is because just the people I know and the work that I've put in, right?
I feel, I can't speak for them, but I would assume they feel they can trust you. They know you care.
Yeah.
What else can you fucking ask for, man?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I do what I can. You know, I go to these clubs and I bring a good amount of people to come through, spend money at their spot, you know, spend money at the bar. So, you know what I mean? It's a long come up, but it still is a come up. Like I'm still coming up. I'm not like, and like I said, it's a passion project for me too, right? So it's not like I'm not putting myself like, oh, I gotta do this by this year or else I'm gonna stop.
No, you know
what I mean, I'm just gonna let it come naturally.
Enjoying the journey, man.
Yeah, of course.
That's the best way.
Yeah, that's the way. That's what makes me want to do it more. You know, and like. I mean, like looking back at it, like what I was able to do and where I was able to go, you know, within, I think the most thing that people are kind of just like, whoa, is like, this is a year and a half right now.
Not that long, man.
Yeah, not that long. Right? But it's just because, again, you know, people that I know, you know, the connections that I've built, and, you know, like I'm reaping those benefits, right? So. They put me, like those people that I've met and I've built like actual relationships with, and they're now putting me in that position, you know, to take me to different places, and you know, it's just part of the game.
Universe at work, man.
Yeah, that's just how it works, right?
Very, very real. That's
why, like, you know, one thing about me is like I'm always willing to just like network or talk with people. You know, I never think that someone is too small, or you know, like doing like all that belittling stuff is not me. Like I'm always all ears. As long as like I have a conversation with you and I can feel like we have like it's a genuine connection, and it's not like, oh, let me fuck with Dolph because he knows X, Y, and Z, or let me fuck with whoever. Just in like just speaking in general, but like as long as I have. A genuine connection with you, I'm down.
Facts.
Which is what it comes down to at the end of the day.
So interesting, bro. I've interviewed people from all different types of industries, and that's always like a common thing. Like, if that person's solid, I fuck with them. You know, if the principles are kind of similar, I fuck with them.
Yeah, for sure.
To me, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's just got to be genuine. Like, obviously, you don't want to put yourself in a position or, you know, do something with someone when you know that their intentions aren't positive, right? So like,
very true. Yeah,
I mean, and me too is like, I'll reach out to people. Till this day, I still reach out to people. You know, I don't ever think like, I never let what I've accomplished and my success like make me think that I can't hit someone up. You know what I mean?
I think that's gonna bring you awesome like longevity in the game too,
yeah,
man.
Whether there's someone that's starting up, or whether it's someone that's obviously way more accomplished. Me, I always reach out, you know, because for me, it's one of those things, like, especially with DJing, like, how do you expect me is a little bit different, because, like, I kind of, like, when I started DJing, I did my own parties, right? So I would do my own parties, and then like eventually I would DJ my own parties, right? So people would come out, friends of friends would come on, they would hear me spin. They're like, oh, this guy's good, he's decent. You know what I mean? So like I kind of created like that I created my own path. I think I did things a little bit different within like the DJ, like a DJ's come up or when they start out, you know, usually when DJs start out, they're under someone's wing or whatever the case may be. I could be wrong though, but like, or, you know, they gotta go to the club and be like, yo, spin for free or whatever. You know, there's just different things that I've heard for people's come up, but like, I kind of just created my own thing, right?
Super organically.
Yeah, I just created my own thing. I spun for my friends. We would throw parties, you know, and then like, obviously, like, friends of friends bring friends and friends, and then, you know, like, sometimes some of those other friends are DJs too, and then they come through to the party, they hear you spin, and they're like, oh, you know, you're good. Like, then now let's work together. Boom. And that's how it kind of started. It's how I met, like, all these other great DJs to name... like, to name a few, there was that I've worked with personally. There's Pat that I've done work with. There's, who else? There's a lot of people. Like, as of recently, you know, Mike Rock, who's a legend. Who else? Pam, which was P Baby. She's a crazy DJ. I've done work with June, who's also a videographer. He's a DJ as well. Crazy. Louise, like all these guys, there's a pool of DJs that I've worked with that I'm like, that the way we met was so organic. Yeah. And now, you know, we've done so many parties together, and like, there's probably some DJs that I didn't name, but like all those guys are, to me, they're never, I'll never forget those guys. Like those guys, you know, like it was such an organic, how we met.
Yeah.
You know, and then we were just doing our thing. And now, like, some of these DJs, we've traveled together, we're good friends, you know, like, and we're just always like keep in contact, and like, you know, we're planning stuff for this year even. Like, there's just so many dope DJs in the city of Toronto, which is why I think Toronto is like a very special city when it comes to this DJ game, because there's so many dope DJs in the city. Like, it's actually insane. Like, I can't even, like, past 10, like, more than, there's like, I can't even put a number to it. There's just a lot.
Yep.
There's a really lot of dope DJs doing their thing, man. It's like, inspiring to see other DJs striving in different areas, even in different genres. It's kind of just like, oh, man, like, that's pretty cool. Like,
it is cool, man. I want
to do that in my own way, or, oh, man, like, you know, like, it's just mad cool to see, like, other people striving. Just it motivates you more, you know.
It is cool, bro, and I like that you said in the city of Toronto, because the city of Toronto, like, it's very focused on rap, and I feel like a lot of like rappers don't fuck with each other. So in the DJ world, for people to fuck with each other and help each other grow, it's so refreshing, man.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Positive.
I think the DJ community in Toronto is like. The thing with the DJ community in Toronto, as long as you put your stripes in,
yes,
that's all.
You know, that's how it should be.
Yeah, you get that respect when, you know, you put in the work, you put in the time, and people see that and they hear it, and the quality of music and the way you're DJing and your style and how you're transitioning, or even your music selection, or how you're able to read a crowd. Like, you know, like, as long as you put in those hours and you study and you do your fair share of downloading the music and like all of that, and hey, man, like, sometimes even you gotta have a shit party for you to progress, right? Or you gotta, you know, like me, I used to be a DJ that used to just look on my laptop like this and not even look at the crowd, versus now, like, I've grown where I can see, like, oh, okay, like, they're not feeling this, let me switch it up.
Live and learn, man. One of my favorite cliches.
Yeah, for sure.
Only way to do it. Keep going.
100%.
You kind of... amazing. Like, that was so fucking cool for me to hear, bro. Really, really appreciate you sharing that. And you kind of touched on it already. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. You mentioned, like, physically, it's a pretty difficult gig. What's, like, your average night in the clubs, hour-wise? And talk a little bit about, like, physically.
Yeah, so, I mean... See, the people that, you know, they, when people who look at DJs outside looking in, Like, they think that we're just turning a bunch of knobs and pressing a bunch of buttons, but, like, I've seen someone who was on a podcast and they said it was like playing like Tetris at the hardest level. Literally, that's what it is. That's what DJing is. It's like, it's not we're just pressing buttons, man. It's like, we're thinking, we got to think like 5 steps ahead. Like, where are we going with this? You know, the vibe is here. I want to bring it up here, or I want to slow it down and then bring it up here, or I want to switch this. I want to switch this vibe. I want to switch this genre, do all this. It gets stressful, man. Like, you know what I mean? And like, you have like your friends, you know, they think that they're there to party. They think you're there to party too, but you're actually at work.
Right.
Right. So
can you get, you can't really drink too much. Can you? Yeah.
I don't know. I can.
You can. Okay.
I half the time you see me DJ, the best times I DJ is when I'm out of my mind.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's where I'm saying, like, you really gotta have a balance. Like, I'm getting older now, so, like, I feel that shit, like, the next day.
Right.
Where, like, my head is pounding, and I'm sleeping in till, like, 7 in that evening. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough, man, especially you're doing, like, these back-to-backs, or you're going on the road, and you're traveling OT. You know what I mean? Like, I've done gigs where, you know, I went to Ottawa, then I went to Montreal, then come back to Toronto. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's...
Or you've done your fair share of gigs, especially in the summertime, where you're going parties at from day into night, or you're going from venue to venue, and it's stressful, man. Like, sometimes, like, it puts a toll. It's hard to, you got to just be really, you got to know your limits, and you just got to balance. You know?
Like, yeah.
It's not every day. I mean, for me, I'm bad. Like, I get hammered all the time. I can't say no when my friends want to bring me a shot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, usually the clubs will give us a bottle, and, you know, like, I'm drinking. Next thing you know, I'm like 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm like 10 shots deep. And I'm like head spinning and all of that. But, you know, there's times where, like, I was just like, damn, this is like a little bit too much. So it's just a matter of that balance and that discipline.
Yeah, you adjust too as you get older, right? Like, you did things differently at 18 than you do now. That's part of life.
You know what it is, though, is I think a lot of people, they tell me, like, yo, Dolph, like, how do you go off the back-to-back-to-backs? Or how do you DJ and then, you know, you're doing 3 gigs in one day, or you're going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or, you know, you're doing all that and you're drinking. Like, it all goes back to when I was younger. I used to party a lot, so it's the same thing.
You're built for it,
but without without the DJ,
you put your time in the partying too, bro. Yeah, you earned that,
so,
as
like,
well.
To me, like, I'm crazy when it comes to the party stuff. I like to have a good time.
I love it,
you know,
man.
I mean, as long as I'm with my friends and I know that I'm safe with my people, and you know the place that we're at is. Obviously, I feel safe at, you know your limits. Like, you know, like, oh, if the vibe's not right, you know you're not going to, like,
facts,
partake in too much alcohol, you know what I mean? Because, you know,
gotta be on
obviously,
point.
Like, stuff, you know, like, within this nightlife industry, there's obviously a lot of negatives, too. You know, there's a lot of scuffles that go on.
Sure.
And, you know, usually it's over some real stupid stuff. But, you know, it happens. You know, you just gotta put yourself in the most safest position at the end of the night, right?
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, like, I always do a good job at, like, surrounding myself with people that just want to have a good time. My friends always, when we all go out, it's like, we're just there to have fun. We're not here to cause problems, you know what I mean? And, like, same thing, go DJ and I bring all my friends. And we drink, we have a good time. They take care of me, you know, if I... There's always gonna be a designated driver if need be. So yeah, just putting yourself in that position to be safe, right?
Love that, man. You live. You know what? I've always felt this way. You live life how you want to live your life, man. You do it the best you can do. Funny, like, kind of nerdy question. Your ears, bro. When I'm in these clubs, they're so fucking loud.
Yeah.
How do you take care of that, man?
I need to do a better job like that. I remember I did a gig at AMPM one time. And my ears were ringing from when I left till Sunday. My ears were ringing. I'm like, gosh, man. And I always see my other fellow DJs tell me, like, yo, you need to invest in a pair of plugs. I just never do it. I'm just lacking. I just never do it. But yeah, I got to get on that.
I love that, bro. I was always just so curious, man.
It's serious, man. Because you, when you're younger, you may not think now, but then when you're like, when you're pushing older, bro, and you know, as you get older, shit deteriorates, right? Like, you'll never know what happens in the future when it comes to your hearing. Because, like, it'll be like this. Like, speakers, like,
yeah, all this, fucking night.
Bigger and more louder, just like.
Crazy,
you
bro.
You know what I mean? So it's just in your ear, just loud, you know what I mean? And then there's, you know, there's even, like, instances where, you know, people are trying to come up to you and talk to you, which is, like, my biggest pet peeve with DJ is when, like, someone is talking to me while I'm working. I'm like, just let me work.
Facts.
You know what I mean? And they're just out here just ringing off in your ear. And then, you know, you get like that too, right? You get people ringing into your ear. And like, because the music's loud now, they're yelling into your ear. So, you know, it gets a little bit crazy.
I could imagine, bro. But yo, you do a fucking awesome job, man. I see your posts. You're killing it, man. Very, very high. I have a high amount of respect for you, what you've built. Appreciate with your it. Brand, appreciate what you're building it. As a DJ. Really, really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me as well.
Yeah, man.
Anything you want to promote, talk about?
Me, really just, I don't really have much going on right now. And plus, I like living in the moment type thing. So I have stuff planned out, but then I don't want to like, I don't like to like, what's the saying to this, but I don't want to like hatch my, like, you know, before your eggs before they hatch type shit. Oh yeah,
absolutely.
You know, so I just, obviously I'm working on some new clothing coming up, hopefully some new collabs on the way. I know me and Headless were talking, so I'm trying to, like, me and him are trying to link up and try to do something special for the city.
That would go so fucking crazy.
You
know what I mean?
Obviously, I'm more parties that I'm doing. You know, I'm always trying to elevate that. That's pretty much all I'm really working on right now. And just, again, always nonstop, 24/7, just working on my craft.
Love it, bro. I really appreciate you, man. This was a fucking awesome conversation. Appreciate it, man. What's your IG? Where do the people find you?
You can find me, RCABANGAN.13X. That's my IG. And on my IG, you can find everything else there.
Dope. Put that up on the screen.
All of that. If you want to hit me up, want me to DJ or party or something like that, you just hit me up on my IG.
Amazing, man. Yo, doll, fuck them up. I appreciate you, fam.
My guy, I appreciate you.
Versatile Vigilante. Let's get it. 2024. Shout out composed by Kyle again. Shout out Roseland for hosting, yes, man. Sir. Let's fucking get it.